last week, I said something during my talk that seemed to impact people, which was, I said, this is the end of Rudy's work. And I don't believe I meant to I didn't mean to upset anybody, but it was taken in ways that I didn't expect. When I say this is the end of Rudy's work, I mean this work that we're doing ends in awakening. It doesn't mean we're not going to have class anymore. It doesn't mean the practice is finished. It doesn't mean that I'm stopping teaching Rudy's practice. That's not going to happen. This is the practice that brought me here. I have devoted an entire life to this practice. It's not going away. It's the most extraordinary gift I've ever been given. So it doesn't stop. I'm learning from it even as we speak. It is an ongoing teaching. The end of this practice, if you devote a life to it, is that you will awaken to who you are and who has been sitting here all these years. And when I say that's an end, I don't even mean it as an end, because it's not an end. Because awakening is a new beginning. But it's the end of the personality that's been seeking all this time. Because you find it. When you find what you've been looking for, you find it. It's pretty simple. It just happens to take some of us a lifetime. Which is why Rudy said, this is a life's work. He didn't say, come to me for a month and you'll get it. He didn't say, this was easy. This involves sitting every day of your life and beginning this process of unfolding or opening or breaking down resistance, asking. It's the effort that's necessary in life to arrive at the very place you've been searching for all the time, which all the great literature will tell you is exactly where you already are. It's an absurd idea that you have to work all these years to find out that you've been there the whole time. But that's what it is. And the awakening to that fact is both astounding, revolutionary, and absolutely simple. There was never anywhere to go, but you had to go there. I did leave last week's talk having said that I don't know how this is going to continue or what I'm even doing sitting here. I really experienced a kind of completely new way of looking, and I didn't understand what I was seeing. And I didn't know how I was going to understand this. But then this miraculous thing happened. For me, miraculous, and that is one of my oldest and dearest friends in the world, Per Johansson, now Ganeshananda, Swami Ganeshananda, arrived here, and I hadn't seen him in 30-some years, I think, or we can't figure out the actual dates, but whatever it is, He got off the train with this extraordinary partner with him, Hildegunn, both from Norway. And the minute I saw Per, it's hard to describe, but my heart just burst open. And I understood deeply that he came to remind me of what this practice is. Because Per is the most perfect and pure example in my mind of someone who has sat in this work for as long as I have, maybe a year less, sure, which may make some difference, I have no idea. But he has been doing this work, and it has worked him. And he arrived here as a bearer of extraordinary wisdom for me. Basically, what Per brought me was Rudy again. He brought me the teaching again. Not that I had lost it, because I hadn't. But last week I said, I don't know what this is. What do I do now? And what Per brought me was, keep doing what you're doing. Do what you do because it works. It's real. It's valuable. It has content. It has nourishment. It brings wisdom. It brings everything. And the two of us have had this extraordinary time together this week. Hard to explain, but affirmation upon affirmation upon affirmation upon affirmation. That it's kind of a wordless thing, but it's a knowing. It's just a knowing of what we share. And what we share, we all share. There's nobody here who doesn't partake of this. What happens when we sit in meditation? In the beginning, you sit and you ask for help to surrender, the key of Rudy's practice. And somewhere in that tiny window of asking, something happens. You experience something. Rudy called it opening. Your heart opens. Your other chakras open. There is, for a brief moment, for some people longer than a brief moment, this thing that was never exactly labeled other than opening, or nothingness, Rudy called it sometimes, but it really is presence. It's just, there is you there, without your personality, without your history or narrative, without any sense of anything leading up to it or leading away from it. There is just this. And the moment you feel this, you know it's worth everything. You know it's worth coming back to that class, sitting in meditation, honoring that person who told you about it. Because whatever it is, this that you feel for 8 seconds is you. It's yourself. It's your true self. And it is so beautiful and so assuring and so comforting and so simple, so present. And the extraordinary thing is you forget it the minute you leave the classroom. And you go back into the insanity of day-to-day life. And you just say, well, how will I ever get back to that? And you go back to the class. And you sit there again, or you sit in your own meditation, and you say again, please help me to surrender. And you hold your breath for 10 seconds, and there it is, again. You can't label it, you can't name it, you don't know what it is, but it's there. And then it goes to 12 seconds. And then you've exhaled and it's still happening. It's still there. Sometimes you get a class where the entire class, you're just sitting there like, oh. And then you don't want to get up. Why would you want to go back to work? Why would you want to go back into the world? This is so sweet, simple, beautiful. It's who I am. And you find that extends longer and longer and longer. And then something happens which is very difficult. You actually can get it, let's say, for a day, that you're just walking around, oh, I'm enlightened. I am there. You feel this incredible sense of joy and gratitude, and then it goes away. Or it seems to go away, and you're caught back in your, you know, worry and fear and drama and all that other stuff. And the suffering that comes along with that is profound. Because now you have really lost something, or you think you have. You have lost this treasure of presence. And it becomes much more of a work. Rudy called it work. To go back to that space and try to hold on to it. And of course you discover you can't hold it. You, whoever you are, whatever your name is, can't hold it. You don't understand that because you think it's you. Because you think you're the one who got it. Oh, I get it. I am this. I am enlightened. But you can't be enlightened because what you really got in those 10 seconds was the absence of you. The minute there is ownership of it, it's over. The residue may be there, but it's over. Because what that experience truly is no experience. It can't be an experience because an experience is something you have. The truth is, it's the end of experience. It's being. It's just being. There's no one doing it. It's just happening. And for that short period of time or prolonged period of time, there's no you there. But until you understand that there's no you there, you keep living this idea that you are that thing. That you as your personality are now a bearer of spiritual content. Oh, I am spiritual. And it becomes your new identity. I am this spiritual being carrying, manifesting, spreading this extraordinary thing that I have. And the more you build that into the system, the harder it starts to get to truly be it. Because it wants you dead. It wants you out of the picture, and it's going to do everything in its power to pull that off. And here you are now going to be in this very strange struggle of wanting to be spiritual and having the wish to be spiritual be the very thing that keeps you from spirituality. The truth is, every time you sit in that stillness, Karen and I have been using the name dynamic stillness, which I think is brilliant. Per will begin to call his practice that or is talking about it. I get that. That's what it is. It's dynamic stillness. When you sit in that dynamic stillness, there's no you there. And at one point, you will know that. And then what happens, and you have no control over it, none of us have control over it, at some moment, the you is gone. And it doesn't stop. It doesn't go away. You are just that. There is no person. And you walk around for a while, you just cry and cry and cry, because it's so beautiful. Then you have little parts of your old self that come in and say, what if I lose this? And then you get rid of that. And you just go, that little thing that comes in is such a puny little voice. And you get rid of it. You literally just, phew. Other days it will fill the system. It will come in and fill you. And you'll be very thrown by that. But then there's this largeness that you have become that just looks at it and goes, and this is really interesting, oh look what's happening. This is happening, I call it Bruce's happening. And you just observe it. And instead of trying to get rid of it, because where is it? Why should you get rid of it? It's there. You just look at it. And already there's this separation, so you're not caught in it, you're just aware of this hugeness of Bruce presenting. And then it goes away, like a cloud in the sky. It goes, gone, and there you are again. There you are. You never were anywhere but there. And his bigness is there. At some point early on, you ask yourself, who am I? What is this? And the voice that seems to come back in some profound way is, I am that. I am that. And it's no longer your ego saying it. It no longer has a name. It's its own self. It's the self. And it says, I am that. And again, you start crying. Because that which I am is everything you had ever wanted to be in your entire life. It is what you have always been in your entire life. It's you. What you are is the most beautiful possible version of you that you can dream of. You're that. It has no name. It has no real personality, although it looks a lot like you and it acts a lot like you. And it is really, in truth, you. It even embodies, it can have your name, because that's part of the whole. There it is, and it's this huge win-win of being. It's still part of a journey. And what I have discovered is that it keeps teaching. It keeps teaching. It keeps learning about itself. And it learns about itself by what's brought into the moment. Things arise. You appear. Other people appear. Per Hildegund appeared. They came into my life. They brought gifts of being. The phone rings. The Democratic Party appears, wanting more money. It appears. What are you going to do? You do what you do, and you hang up. The next thing comes, and the next, and it keeps coming. Some of the stuff rises up from within. Thoughts, ideas, awareness. Sometimes nothing comes. The most interesting times for me in the last week or so have been this awareness that there's nothing there. Nothing. No thoughts, no cares, no concerns, nothing. And it's not absence. It's not absence. It's just nothing. And then occasionally into that nothingness, a real sense of presence emerges, and that presence is a fullness of sorts, but its primary characteristic, unexpected, is overwhelming joy. No reason, not beckoned, just there it is, over and over. I get out of bed in the morning, I walk downstairs, Paris sitting at the table, and my heart goes, it goes like that. You know? That happens every morning I wake up and see my wife. That did not happen when Bruce was around. I told Blanche, I may have said this last week, that I love you more than Bruce ever did. Because this is constant. This is constant, it's real, it is unchangeable, it is, I can only call it infinite, I may be wrong, but it feels like that. It doesn't go away. And so the love, which is at the core of this, doesn't go away. I can look at every one of you, and it just pours forth. Pours forth. And then what I've discovered today sitting in class, which was wonderful, how you hide from me. I've seen it before, because I've been teaching like this for a long time, but it's clearer and clearer how you hide. How you don't want to be seen, how you don't really want this. And it's just ignorance. It's just ignorance. And I had that ignorance up just a month ago. I get it. I get it. But I also get the process. The process is slowly, mostly slowly, washing away your resistance until there's so little left that it can just go and opens you. It wipes you out. It clears the system. I don't know that it, in a sense, can be made to happen. It just happens. It just happens. So, there's no credit here for any of this being a part of this class, even. But the class works as a kind of scrubbing. Washing, 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 till you're clean. We just keep working at it. The value of this class is we're a scrubbing system. Where else do you get that? Unconsciously, really, you get it in the world. You get it all the time. People are working on you all the time, but you don't get that. And you're building up resistance, and you're, don't talk to me like that. And, you know, you get all these kind of crazy sort of responses to day-to-day life. But here, at least, you try not to react. You try not to be angry at the scrubbing. You try not to be angry at the thing that's breaking down your resistance and reducing you to nothing. You try to accept it. But part of the problem, honestly, with this whole class and teaching is the trying. You're trying to do and become what you already are. And it's an odd thing. It's like you're trying to be here. Be here now. So you're trying to be here now. But you're here right now. You're here. What is there to try to do? And yet there people sit, oh, please help me to surrender to the now. You're already in the now. You're in the now. You can't be anywhere else but that. Even if your mind is going all over the place, you're right here. So all you really have to do is go, oh. The thing that seems to take you out of being here is your mind is going crazy with stuff. Yesterday's problems, tomorrow's fears. So that's all going on, perhaps, while you're sitting here. Maybe not. But it's all going on. And you're saying, that's the thing that keeps me from being here now. I've got this problem and that problem. You don't even think it. You're just in it. But if you can get quiet enough for a moment, you can see that stuff happening. And rather than judging it, just go, oh, that's what's happening. Oh. The mind is working. The mind is going through its stuff. Even just that statement pulls you back. It allows you to observe it without being caught in it. And then when you accept that that's what it's doing and you're no longer fighting it or struggling with it or struggling with trying to be here, that's when you go, oh, I am here. And in that being here, awakening is possible. Because there's nowhere else to go. There is nowhere else to go in your entire life other than where you are now. It's not going to happen down the road. It's not going to be better circumstances 2 years from now. You don't have to wait till you've been scrubbed of every little piece of you, because that's really hard to do. What you do is you accept the dirt. You accept it as it is. Once you've accepted it as it is, You're done with the cleaning process. You're done with the trying. You just go, oh. Huh. Okay. Finished. When the actual ego gets blown out, that may be sometime later, but you have at that point done everything to prepare for that to occur. And if it does not occur, here's the benefit. You live an extraordinary life. A life of clarity, a life of openness, a life of availability, a life of surrender, a life of conscious being. And you just do that until the final little threads get torn apart or severed in some very subtle little way. And then you'll do what I did, which is I went, oh, something happened. Oh, what was that? And I didn't even know. I just knew something happened. And then I realized there's no more Bruce. And trust me, there was no mourning. There was no mourning. I was as happy as could be to be free of that burden. Because Bruce, like each of you, is a big weight to carry around. It's always worrying, it's always afraid, it's going to die, it doesn't have enough to eat, it ate too much. It doesn't stop. And what a drag. What a drag. And we're all suffering with that same drag, and it's a waste of time. So when it disappears, you are not going to be an unhappy camper. All you can do is say thank you in the most profound way, and then what you discover is that that thank you that gratitude is endless. That's all you become, gratitude. So that's what we're doing here. You come here to taste yourself, to feel yourself, to get a glimpse of yourself, and to expand that a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And there's a process to this, and Rudy had it down. He had it down. Because it's hard to do. And because if you don't practice it, it won't. I mean, it may happen. It does happen to people. But this is a practice that will break stuff down, bring you closer and closer to this thing that is so present and so available that you'll be shocked at how it was always there. But I am deeply aware of people who have so embedded themselves in their own tension, in their own fear, in their own insanity, that even I don't know how to get through that. If you bring yourself here, you have entered the process willingly. You have given yourself over to this. You have committed yourself to a practice. I once told Rudy, do with me as you will, basically. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. It doesn't matter. I want this. Trust me, it was that moment that this all became possible. And Au Pair did the same thing. It takes that. It takes that. And so we're all here in this process, some closer maybe to an end, if you will, some further away. It kind of doesn't matter. Because the miracle of all of this is that when it wants to happen, it will. And the mere fact that you are part of this means that it can, and as far as I can tell, it will take place. So present yourself to it as deeply and profoundly as you can, as consistently as you can. Make yourself available. Tell it that you're willing to do whatever, and it will do its work on its side, because you're doing your work on your side. And that work is given us, And here we are. And it continues, I will tell you that. That's the thing I'm amazed by. It continues. Only now I have nothing to do with it. I just am present with it. And I'm watching miracle upon miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And to be able to witness that, what can you say? So, thank you guys for coming. Any questions? I know this has brought up a lot of stuff for people. I'm hearing it from all over the place. People don't get it. They're confused by it. You know, what happened to Bruce? You know, is this real? You know, you look like you're here. It looks like this is still you. It sounds the same. You know, just try to understand. It's the same, but it's not the same. So, George.
Rudy used to say he had a realization that his realization was.
It's kind of that, but I will tell you from my experience now, the realization that has taken place is the end of realization. Now it's just work. It's just showing up.
Well, the realization is work.
It's work, but there's no you doing it. It's doing itself. You are just one with it, serving it, being it, and no resistance. No resistance. Just you're there. Because it's not you doing it, it's itself doing it. It's the world being. It's self working self, being with self. I don't understand it at all, but I am not unhappy to be in it or of it. But realization is kind of, that's all you kind of need. Oh, that's it. Oh, done. Except for some people, it happens with so much unexpected, I'll call it ferocity, like that. And it takes 2 years to figure out what that was. But as you remember, because you were there when it happened, the LSD trip in 65, I had no idea what had happened to me. It was like so massive. I would walk down the streets for days going, wow. And then, you know, Barry gave me the Bhagavad Gita, and I read that, and I said, oh my God, this was a spiritual experience. I didn't even know that. And then I spent, as I've talked about, 45 years working it through until the last second, a month ago, or whatever it was, and I went, it's over. But it took that long.
I think LSD was like immediate ego
It, it was an ego death, but I didn't get it, and the ego struggled for 45 years to deal with that experience.
People went crazy because they were scared they lost their ego.
Exactly. And a lot of people in institutions, not through LSD, but have had awakenings that there is no language for in their life. People wake up all the time, but they have no concept for it. And I get that. How would you have a concept for not being you?
Or society tells them they're crazy.
Of course. So there are people for whom that is happening, and they're just being given drugs to get back to something that they don't really want to get back to. So I think this has been going on through history. People have awakened. The few people who have been truly acknowledged as awakened, I say, have had ashrams built around them. But now this extraordinary thing of the internet, people are awakening going, what happened? And they go on and they type in these key words, and they find other people. And now a kind of society of awakened beings is starting to happen, which is kind of miraculous in itself. Never in the history of the world have people been able to find each other and group together in that way. It's really remarkable. And there are people who are teachers who really are able to provoke this. You know, Linda has a teacher who provokes this with lots of people. You know, I've only been teaching for a week, but there have been two people already who did this. It's kind of amazing. You know, I don't know how it works. I have no idea. Whoever I am, cries when it occurs. It's all it wants. It's for everybody in this room, including you, to go, it's all I want. And I will live the rest of my life helping in any way I can for that to happen and crying when it does.
Bruce, as you probably can imagine, for those of us that are connected to you...
That what?
For those of us that are connected to you for a very long time, you're... and it started as an email. had a very profound ripple effect. I mean, at least I'll speak for myself. And, you know, obviously I there's lots of questions in my mind, and I kind of feel like it's kind of stupid, and that I'd rather sort of just listen and proceed. But one thing I might want to ask you in terms of this experience, in terms of Rudy's work and my experience with Rudy's work, is when you're talking about these moments where you might in Rudy's form of work, or maybe energy work is the only work I've known, if you will. Would it be right to say at all that if one can achieve anything little in a class or in, as you say, that might last a day, it would be that the energy becomes so strong in one that it essentially obliterates the self. In other words, at least that's my only thing I can relate to in terms of this.
It doesn't obliterate the self. It actually pushes aside the ego or the separate the idea of separateness. For a moment, that just goes away. Or really what happens is the part of you that's been thinking about everything else just shuts down for a moment or gets quiet. And in that quiet, you see what already is. Nothing. It's nothing special except it's truth. It's right there. There's no big deal. Another way to do this is a little bit opposite of Rudy, is rather than trying to do it, accept exactly what's there as it is. Accept it exactly as it is. Just go, okay. It's kind of really the essence of surrender. You're not trying to surrender. You just go, okay. The exact same thing happens. In that okayness of whatever is, there's this it's extraordinary. It's so simple. That's another part of it. At one point, I stopped doing the double breath. This was some years ago, because I thought it was trying to get me into some other place. I kept saying, why am I asking to surrender this to get somewhere else? It's another version of the practice. Not doing the double breath can be as valuable as doing the double breath. The double breath is really valuable when you are really distracted. When there's like all this stuff and you can't get out of it. If you have the intelligence to take a breath and bring yourself back to this, wow, what a gift. And how many people get that? You go to closed eye meditation, you know, and you sit somewhere trying to follow your breath, and the first thing you hear is that is not going to do it. What does it is this conscious effort. That's what Rudy called it, conscious effort. But there is now also conscious effortlessness, where you don't do anything. You just go, oh. And it has the same effect. But conscious effortlessness is really Rudy's core teaching, which is surrender. Accept. Allow. Be what is. By being what is, rather than saying this is wrong or it shouldn't be this way, forget that. It's what it is. How can it not be this way if it is? The minute you go yes to that, unbelievable transformation takes place. But if you do it to get transformation, it won't work. If the ego wants to benefit from that, forget it. You only do it to get out of the way. And it takes place. Plus, I should say, all the questions you have, I am happy to answer. Whether you do it now, on the phone, on email, or whatever, I'm happy to answer them. They will go away very quickly. Because all the questions are trying to understand, to have will understand what this is. The only value in that at all is for Will to finally get the picture that he's not going to be around long. And it's going to be okay. It's not this tragic, traumatic thing. It's actually the thing you've been praying for from the beginning. I love Will, but I love Will's being completely. Will has been fun to know, you know. But I watch the suffering part. I watch, you know, you went through a lot, and you and Mary together in the last few months. That is huge, huge. I think it's brought you to a beautiful place, actually. But there's a lot of suffering in that. Suffering doesn't go away, honestly. If anybody here thinks they're going to get free of suffering, forget it. What you're going to get free of is the thing that suffers, the person. Suffering will be there, but it's just there. Suffering is suffering. It suffers itself, and you will look at it with amazement. You may not like it. I mean, there's nothing like suffering, including the self, but you just it's part of the makeup of it. So you just allow it, because what else is there to do? Plus, I no longer have anyone there to get rid of it. So there it is. Same for you. You will find that there is real, that who you are is this thing you've always been without any personality or name. It's just deeply, primitively you, and it's great. The question that everybody asks me is, do you still want sex? Everybody's so afraid that that's going to be the thing that you're going to have to give up. The answer is yes, you still want it. It's still there. You don't crave it perhaps in the same way or for the same reasons, but it's there. It's part of being. All of your old instincts are still there. Your wants, your likes, your dislikes, they're still there, but they're not you. And they can rise and fall without being engaged at all, and it won't matter. Or they can take hold in their own particular way, and you just go for the... You're on the ride. You become the passenger, as opposed to the one who's running the show here. It's a great place to be. And watch this amazing thing unfold. It's so simple. It's so simple. And you're so close to knowing this. You know, I keep watching people as they get ripe. And you really do ripen. People ripen just like fruit on a tree. And you really watch it. And then there's this moment where you can just feel. They don't have to be pulled off. You know, something's going to happen in that ripeness, and they're going to go, bah, fall off the tree. So many people in this room are ripe. You know, just let it happen. You can't let it happen. You can't stop it from happening. You can't do anything.
Well, that's I suppose quick other question would be that I'm very aware of what you're describing here as don't think about monkeys, right?
It sounds like that. Yeah. But let me just say.
But I mean, there's ways around even that.
No, think about monkeys. It's fine. It's part of the process. It's really part of the process. When I go to this conference where there are these enlightened people talking, and there are people who in this last conference, like me, who were not enlightened. And all they can think about, hearing all these other people, but what about me? What about me? How can I, you know, and they say, forget this, it will happen. And I go, how can I forget this? I flew across the country for it. You know, how do you forget it? You can't. But it's all part of the ripening thing. It's doing this thing inside you until finally it goes, done. So you can't, it's all exactly as it must be. The whole of your life is exactly as it must be. That's an incredible thing. All of the stuff you've been through, all the stuff you hate, all the stuff you love, had to be there to make this happen. And then it happens. You know, it may happen on your deathbed. It may happen, you know, as you walk out of the door here. Who knows? Who knows? But when it happens, you'll go, huh, wow. And then you'll start crying. That's kind of how it works. Or you know, it may smash you to pieces all of a sudden out of nowhere. And then, luckily now, you have someone to talk to about it. You know, I have this Bart, my friend Bart. He's my, you know, he's the connector. I connect to him. I call him. I can ask any question, and he affirms this stuff. Now it's not questions and answers. It's a kind of celebration. We just continually celebrate each other's unbelievable good fortune. And it can be for everybody. There's nobody who doesn't have the possibility of this. More remarkably, and this will be talked in every kind of literature in this arena, is that everybody's already there. That's all you realize is, oh, I'm already there. And when you realize that, the ego falls away and you're just still there. Ego's gone. Boom. Okay. But for some people, that's pretty unsettling. For other people, it's like, ah, finally. And the stories that come out of that are the stories of all these remarkable, of everybody has a remarkable story. Okay, I'm talking on and on here. Two things. Per's very dear friend, Hildegun, is an incredible, I think, opera singer. And she has offered today, with the help of Natalie at the piano, to provide us with a concert after we have lunch, downstairs in the living room. So anyone who would like to stay for that, it's a gift, trust me. It's a gift to anyone who wants to be there for that. This is unrehearsed. They haven't had a chance to be together. No one knows how this will work. If we have to just have it be a cappella, I'm telling you, I had an a cappella concert the other night and it blew me away. It's so beautiful. So you're welcome to stay for that, and I encourage you. The other thing is, next weekend after class, I'm going to put on the video of the Ghost Musical workshop that we did in London. And anybody who would like to stay to watch it is welcome. You know, if the room gets crowded, I only have 12 seats in there, then people have to sit on the floor, lie on pillows, or whatever. But if any of you want to see it without having to fly to London, you're welcome to stay and watch it. If you don't want to, fine. And if it gets overly crowded, I'll do it the following weekend again. So, anyway, those are the messages. The last thing, I guess, is that Per brought us this amazing Nova Scotia lox from Norway. It's direct from Norway, but it is unsliced. Anyone here who has any skill at slicing will be pressed into service. you've been selected. Okay.
I actually borrowed a fishnet from the deli.
Oh, did you?
That's
great, but it's going to be great, and I think.
Start from the tail.
Good news.
Had it on ice all this time?
It hasn't been quite iced, but believe me, it's fresh and it's great and it's highly well packaged. So anyway, thank you guys all for coming, and I'll see you next time if you're here.